Hello and welcome along. It's Andy, your host on this here podcast.
So here we are, episode 9, and tables are turned. Mandy interviewing me for a change. Wasn't particularly planned. I didn't really ever want to be in an episode of my own podcast. But, you know, pressure was brought to bear. So let's hope it's not too dull. Here we go. Mandy Dillon interviewing Jibs TV. So, yeah, here we are back in, it's episode 9 and the tables have been turned. And so I'm handing over the questioning to Mandy.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good. I'm nervous? Scared. See, now you don't know how we all feel on this side. So, Andy.
Yes.
What brought you into the wedding industry?
Not wanting to be in front of the camera.
Okay, so did you have a camera background?
No.
Okay, come on. Get into it.
Okay, so I had demonstrated some talent at filming events, and so this probably goes back to Thoresby Hall, which is a Warner holiday venue not far from where I live. And my mate, Pete Conway, who is Robbie Williams' dad, was host. And I'd known him since 1983, 84, when he used to compare shows that I was doing with a band, Paper Lace. So we'd do summer tours, and so that's how I got to know Pete. Pete turned up as host at Thoresby. This is a very long, boring story. And then he called into the shop where I was working. I went down. It was such a surprise. They had the full-on stage show there with dancing girls with feathers, boas, and all this sort of stuff going on. And so I decided I'd film it. And I filmed their stage show over about 12 weeks with one camera, and then took all the footage and edited it and made it into some sort of comprehensible record of the show. So that was probably I'd done family parties, I think, but it's a good way of not having to talk to anybody because I can be behind the camera.
So how did you go from something like that then going into, let's say, the wedding industry?
Pure luck. So I'd done a video for Complete Madness, a Madness tribute band, and I wanted a camera crane for a shot. Didn't have one, so I made one out of string and elastoplast. And so once I'd done that film, was really impressed with the shots that I got from my homemade thing, I took the money from that and bought a camera crane, a proper one, because I thought, wow, these things are brilliant. And I was then left with a camera crane and no jobs to do for it. So I stuck an advert on eBay saying camera crane for hire, and some other online places, video forums principally. And Gurdip Gill from Gill Media Group got in touch and said, we'd like to hire you, you know, camera crane for a wedding. I was like, fine, yeah, okay. And it was at Milton Keynes Goodwarra, and I think they'd been open a week or something. There was still gravel in the car park. It wasn't tarmacked. And that was my first ever Asian wedding. So I did the ceremony at Milton Keynes and then the reception wherever it was. So to Taj Gill and Gurdip Gill and the Gill Media Group, thank you, because he knows it already. But that's how I got into the business. And of course, everybody was seeing this amazing new piece of equipment. And so I was handing out business cards. and literally within 6 months... probably 20 odd different companies were hiring me to go and film. And so then the balance of trying to work in filming with a day job, that then became the challenge.
Mm. So any regrets, do you think, or was
it
the best thing?
Oh, God, no. Best thing ever.
Okay.
You're kidding me. Going from working in a pawnbroking shop in Worksop to traveling the world to go to the Bahamas or Thailand or Dubai, you know, no contest, is there? It's absolutely no contest. And my only regret is that I didn't realized that I had that capability in me and that it was possible for me to do it until I was 50.
Mm.
If I'd, I just think I, 20 years previous would have been much, much better.
Mm. So when you're not on your crane or you're not filming, doing your events, how do you, what's your relaxed time about? What do you do? Don't say edit.
Little as possible. Sit and watch telly.
Do you?
Aviation is my other interest, I suppose, and that's evidenced by the work I do with the Vulcan Restoration Trust at Southend. And I know that's still filming and I know it's still doing stuff, but to get to go down to Southend and hang out with those guys and play with a great big bomber is just, that's relaxed to me. So filming their events, finding new ways to mount cameras on this aircraft, and that's sort of relaxing for me. It's not, I don't find that stressful at all. And I used to say I would never film a wedding. On the video forums, there were all these wedding videographers, and it's just like, wild horses wouldn't make me do that, because if you make a mistake, there's no retake. You can't ask a bride and groom to come in again. You can't recreate a first dance again. You've got one chance if you get it wrong. And I felt, I'm going back sort of 20 years now, I felt the pressure of that was just way too much on someone's shoulders. And I'm glad to say I've only forgotten to press record once. So we're good.
That's good to know. Thankfully not on any of my jobs.
No, I don't think, have you ever actually hired me? No.
I don't think I have. I don't know. Oh dear.
No, that's it, I'm off.
Need to get you on the next job, Andy. Please In do. Fact, every time I phone, you're probably already booked up. No, I can't
well,
do it.
This year is obviously looking slightly dodgy. I think from speaking to most of the suppliers, everyone is down probably 20 or 30% for this year.
100%.
Mm. Yeah. No, not 100%, 20 or 30%.
No, well, I know what you mean.
I mean, just even having this weekend off is so alien. And it's just like, I should be somewhere filming something, doing something. And instead, no.
So going back a little bit, obviously you went through COVID exactly like we all did. How did that affect you and your business?
Completely. I didn't shoot a frame for 14 months.
At all? Not even these
not
small weddings?
No. Nothing at all. Because a camera crane is a luxury for most events, and COVID wasn't a time for luxuries. COVID was a time when people were watching every single penny because we didn't know how long it was going to last. I sort of looked at back at the Spanish flu epidemic just after the First World War, and I'd seen that lasted about 3 years. And so the speed that the vaccinations were coming in, I thought 2 years tops, we'll be done. It's going to be fine. It turned out to be a bit longer, I think, really. But it really made people realise that they could probably spend their money on something that they felt was more worthwhile.
And then coming out of lockdown,
it's like I said to you on the last one, the first wedding back, I was so nervous. It was just like, do I remember? What? How does everything work? And we're getting there slowly. We are getting there. Destination weddings, obviously not quite yet for me. But an events I think are generally less opulent, if you like, than they were before. And I think people are still nervous. And I still occasionally see face masks on people. And I've seen someone on Facebook this morning who's got COVID and therefore can't go and shoot an air show or something somewhere. It's still about, and we can't be complacent about that. But at the same time as that, I think generally we've got to the stage where people are just kind of going, bugger it, you know, let's do what we want to do.
Okay, so obviously now that we've like kind of come out of COVID, kind of getting back to normality, have you found that some of the guys that you used to shoot for, you don't longer shoot for because COVID has kind of made the videographers and the photographers smaller? Do you think some of the names have disappeared?
Sure.
Yeah.
And so most definitely numbers are down. The people specialising in crane, there's less of us. Video companies have diminished. There's not so many. The ones that were fly-by-nights really just sank without trace, and good riddance to them, because those people were just here for the money. Whereas my philosophy is much different. I'm not here for the money. If I was here for the money, I would be asking £1,000 a gig or whatever. And fair enough, we all have to earn a living. But I'm much more about, I love what I do.
Snap.
Right? I just love what I do. I love the shots that I leave with people. And I don't know. I just love what I do. And I'm not about the pound notes, principally. Mm. I'm more about actually doing a great job for the couple. Mm. I'm not even about doing a great job for the videographers. I'm about doing a great job for the couple, because I want them to have the best shots they can possibly have. Mm. And that sounds terribly cheesy but true.
Mm. Okay, so I guess you probably will have a little bit more to do with venues than, let's say, us, because we will go into a venue and we'll film, but I think you would then have to check, I guess, the ceiling height, other bits and bobs.
Not so much. Well, I do tend to get to venues like ludicrously early.
Yeah.
Because if I don't, then there's tables rammed right up against the side of the dance floor, or so I can't have a decent position to film from. And just going back, that is my principal aim. I need to be the best place I can possibly be to give the best shots I possibly can. And I think if I don't turn up early, this is one of the reasons I won't do a Gurdwara first or a temple first, and then the reception in the afternoon, because I know very well that I'll probably get blocked in the car park in the Gurdwara, have to turn up to the reception late, the tables are already in and set, nothing we can do about it, and I'm filming from a less than optimum position. So that's why I don't do that. I want to be at the venue early. Mm. I may even do a time lapse of the room being built or whatever. But I managed to get my position. And this happened just last week at North Moons Park. Tables were rammed up right against the dance floor. Spoke to the caterers, they weren't interested in moving them. Spoke to the venue, they weren't interested in moving them. Oh, it's their job. So eventually, Rajiv again helped me out and we shifted them. Mm. So we just had to move the tables because there was no other way of... Otherwise, the couple have just wasted a shed load of money on a piece of equipment that's not going to be doing the job they want. So yeah. Did that answer your question? I don't think it did. I just think it was a lot of waffle.
Yeah, don't worry. I'm sure everyone understand. Okay, so going back to venues then, have you got like your favourite venues and your not-so-favourite venues?
Yeah, that list could go on for quite a while, couldn't it? Yes, there are some favourite venues. From my point of view, an easy load is everything. So somewhere like Supreme Venue is great because you open the doors and you're straight in the room. Mm. Big shout out to Harpreet. Less than optimum venue. let's say it like it is, Grosvenor House Hotel.
Okay.
It's just hard work. It's hard work getting in. It's hard work getting out.
Did you not say that you thought you made it, though, when you got to film there?
I did. Yes, but that's wide-eyed innocence,
okay,
isn't it? You know, you turn up somewhere and you think, yeah, big time. You know, this is the Grosvenor House Hotel. We're in central London. We're on Park Lane. It's a huge wedding. It's 1,000 people or 1,300 people. This is fantastic. And then the reality bites and you realise that actually, it's really not. And when you look closely at some of those hotels, they're really chatty around the edges. Then they're trading on nostalgia value. So somewhere like the Grosvenor, they'll never have me back, will they? But somewhere like the Grosvenor make life hard for suppliers.
Mm.
Whether it's intentional or not, they make life really difficult. We're not allowed out through the front door carrying a bag in case a guest should see us. I mean, God forbid that a guest might notice somebody leaving, you know, through it. It's just ludicrous.
Mm.
And I understand going out through the back doors is difficult. They've got a curfew and, you know, the council won't let them load out after 11 p.m. Unless you're Mika Singh, in which case you can. Mm. Notable event happened at the Grosvenor when he was allowed out with all his flight cases and stuff and And if I try and get out with four bags, it's like I'm pinned up against the wall by four burly, you know, Hungarian security meters.
Dear.
Yeah, I know. It's literally have to fight to get out of there sometimes.
Oh, wow.
I think sometimes their sole purpose is just to make life difficult. Mm. And then you go somewhere like Fairmont at Windsor, and even though that's not the easiest load because there's a lift or stairs or escalators or whatever, at least the people running the place kind of understand that suppliers are on an equal level.
Mm.
And whether it's me or a caterer or a cake designer, maker, a wedding coordinator, videographers, photographers, everyone's treated with a degree of respect. And I think that's lacking in a few venues. And those few venues are just a little bit up their own backsides.
Yeah, I mean, I love it when you go to a venue when you're filming and the actual team come together and go, right, there's a supplier table for food. And it's rare, isn't it?
Well, it's IXL, isn't it? Sanjay Foods.
Yeah, and amazing.
Again, yeah, Atul looks after, and I've seen him roll up his sleeves and serve us himself. He's managing director, he's CEO of this huge company.
Yeah.
And he's serving us personally.
Yeah.
And checking what we want and supplying, you know, and that is such a lovely thing to do.
Yeah, I remember at a wedding where they put a supplies table on. I think it was Five Rivers, and they'd put a supplies table on for us, and they'd actually run out of food. So there was absolutely, the bride and groom had already ordered X amount, and they'd run out of food. So by the time it came to the supplies table, there actually wasn't much food left. So bless them, they put chicken nuggets for the kids, chips, chicken nuggets, butter, bread.
Yep.
And they laid that up for the suppliers. Honestly, it was the best meal that we ever had. It was like, why can't we have this at every wedding?
I know, it's great, isn't it? But some weddings, you get the suppliers table. We had one just a couple of weeks ago. Suppliers table laid out. And when we when we went to sit down, it had been invaded by a family. So we didn't get to sit there anyway.
Oh, no.
So,
there's always that, isn't there?
There is always that.
So, Andy.
Yes.
Your most memorable wedding?
Most memorable wedding would be Kenya, in a heartbeat. No question about it. A fabulous trip, a fantastic place, brilliant families both sides. Working with Sal again, just brilliant, relaxed, and utterly memorable. Beautiful bride, handsome groom, superb events. I want to be back in Africa, actually. It's just,
do you know,
so
like
good.
Talking about going away abroad, like how do you take all your crane? Do you like have to leave your weights here, or do you get extra luggage, or like how much does your equipment weigh?
4 23-kilo bags.
4 23-kilo bags. So you have to pay for extra.
Well, if you're savvy about it, no, because if you're flying with the Orange airline, for instance. If you go for priority tickets, you get 2 23-kilo bags anyway.
Okay.
Okay, so you can divide up the four bags or give three of them to other people and just take two myself, or give two over to somebody else and take two myself.
Okay.
And I can even get my clothes and everything in those bags. Weights-wise, yeah, I have to leave them at home, but I take a water bladder with me. So a Norwegian military water bladder.
Okay, interesting.
So when you get to the venue, just fill it up with water, hang it on the back, and it acts as, it's not quite as stable as my weights, but it does the job.
Oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Your worst wedding? And why?
Do you know, I struggle to think of one.
No disasters.
I can think of, well, apart from when I forgot to press record.
Oh, yeah.
Touch. There are places that, for instance, I came back from Dubai filming again with Sal in Dubai on the Aurora wedding. And so you come back from beautiful venues and just the cream of everything. And 2 days after I landed, I was at Prince and Princess's in Ilford, which really brings you back down to earth with a bit of a bang. But they pay the same money, you know what I mean? And the couple there are just as important as the couple in Dubai. They just don't know it, maybe.
Mm.
But maybe they do. So you've got to give equal effort to both. no matter what. But I don't think there has been a worst weddings.
No.
No. There's been times I've turned up, like Gravesend, for instance, turned up at Gravesend Gurdwara, and they decided overnight that camera cranes weren't acceptable anymore. And I have some sympathy for that sort of stance, because there's a religious ceremony going on and people may be distracted by this crane sort of waving around in the air. Mm. So I have some sympathy for it. What I didn't have sympathy for was the way they went about enacting that. You know, there was no warning given, for instance. It was just like, nope, can't film here. So the client had just wasted £600.
Oh dear.
You know, so yeah, that was tough. But yeah, there you go.
Yeah, so have you been barred from any venues?
Yeah, Gravesend Gurdwara. Oh, just yes.
venues and temples.
You know I have been. The Vox. We love the Vox.
He's not allowed in. He's not allowed there.
I had to write. Okay. Strap in for a long story, of course. So I was working at the Vox, and they decided that everybody setting up, no matter if you were anybody, had to wear a high-vis jacket, and everybody had to wear like steel toe cap boots and stuff. So the DJ's 40 yards away over there setting up his screens, and to a degree you can understand, okay, high-vis is there and safety, whatever. I'm building a camera crane in the middle of the room, miles away from anybody. And so I took a photo and just Instagrammed it and said, spot how many high-vis vests you can see in this room. And didn't go down well.
Oh, dear.
And they came back to me. I think it was somebody called Pav came back to me and said, oh, I think you would be more concerned about safety with somebody in your position. And I said, well, you're using building at work regulations, which isn't really appropriate for what we're doing. And he wouldn't stop biting back, so I just kept biting back, and eventually he just barred me.
Oh dear! Did you manage to do that wedding?
I did that wedding.
Oh, good.
But they put safety barriers. There's a picture that I like to retweet every now and then of me standing there, surrounded by safety barriers and a security guard watching me to make sure I didn't move. And then sometime later, somebody booked me for the Vox, and I said, well, I can't do it because I'm barred. And they said, oh, please, we really, really want you. So I wrote this grovelling, stupid letter, email back to the Vox and said, please, you know, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry for the things I said. But and they said, okay, you can come back. And then COVID happened. It was cancelled anyway.
Oh.
And so I never got to go there again. And the company running it went down the toilet. So, you know.
Oh, right, okay.
God moves in mysterious ways.
Oh.
Hello, breaking in again. And if you are still here and still listening, which I doubt at this point, but if you are and you are enjoying it, please, you know, share the podcast on whatever platform you're listening to it on. And it's available everywhere now, even Apple. You know, spread it about. Give us a rating, review it, I don't mind. But please, let's get the word out there. And now back to dull and boring me. Thanks very much. Laters.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about your personal life. Like, obviously, like with myself, being in the wedding industry, it's very difficult, isn't it, to kind of balance your family life and work and kind of do everything. What are you supported well enough at home, or how's it all going?
This business is not very family friendly, I have to say, and that's our choice. I've got no complaints about it. We choose to do it for a living, and therefore we pay the price. But when I first started doing this full time, and I was burning the candle at both ends, and I was working in the shop and filming. And it became apparent that I wasn't capable of doing both at the same time, and I was running myself into the ground. And my wife just sort of said, look, you know, you love doing this. Give it a try. I'm working. If it goes wrong, I can support us. It's absolutely fine. Go do it. And without that little step of encouragement, which was huge, actually, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. Because without without Jude saying that, I think I'd have probably just gone into a black, horrible hole and just given everything up completely. Mm. So it's making me quite emotional, actually, thinking about that.
Aww.
So without her support, I'd really struggle. And she's just brilliant because, you know, I go away on a Friday or Saturday, Sunday. She's sat at home. You know, we've got our son living with us at the minute, which is probably a big bonus, but oftentimes she'll be sat there for a couple of days on her own without me. And that's, I have no illusions that that is a tough thing to, but then I'm there Monday to Friday to bore her. So
get on a nerve. So,
yeah, yeah. So, yeah.
I think in our industry, it's really important to have that support at home because it is so hard, isn't it, what we do?
100%.
So difficult. And without that person at home encouraging you or just supporting you, having dinner ready when you come home or...
Well, it's just in things like the one I did 2 days ago at the Savoy, I just always text her and just sort of say, I've arrived. And she just says, you know, have a good one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, she's not grinding her teeth that I'm not sat at home with her. She's just like, go do what you do best.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm at my most nervous, I think, the first time I did the gaming awards, I was really nervous about it. I got Ricky Kular shooting for me. And I knew that it had to be done, delivered the next day. Multicam shoot, award ceremony. Quite a challenging shoot, actually. And I was bricking it, really was. And she went, I know you'll do a good job. Just relax, you're fine. And when the edit was done about 4 or 5 p.m. the next afternoon, I showed her and she went, yeah, I knew you would. I told you you would. You're perfectly capable.
Do you still do that? Do you show her all your edits and stuff?
She sees everything.
And she's still interested in looking at it and going through it. Oh, that's
amazing. It's... she's my backstop, so I'll show her. There was one shot in this last award ceremony, and I showed her the edit, and she went, "Not sure about that one."
That's good.
Because she's got her eyes closed. It was a singer, and she's got her eyes closed. Can't you just change that? So I'm, okay, bloody. But I did, and it improved it. So I always show her everything, even my boring aeroplane stuff. She always has a look and sees it, you know, stick it on the TV and we watch it because her opinion is important.
You know, and that's so sweet to have that at home, I guess, like to have somebody just go through it and not be bored or not be like, I don't want to see it or here we go again or...
No, she's not any of that at all.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
Aw.
Well done, Mrs. Gibbs. Well done.
Yeah, we love you. Bless you. So what made you think of this podcast?
Because I was listening to, in the downtime, I'd do a bit of couriering with Lion Dispatch. And so I was listening to a lot of podcasts while I was driving around. And the Stephen Bartlett Diary of a CEO was one, and The Comedian's Comedian is another one. And I was listening to him and I was just thinking, The Comedian's Comedian particularly, because he's a comedian who just talks to comedians.
Mm.
And I thought... and he gets those people's stories, and it was just so interesting. And I just thought, there's a place for this, and because people don't know about the personalities that we've... It's like Jas Johal, Gervier, MK, Roadshow, Carisha with the cakes. It's just, all these people, we're all known to each other, if you like. You know, we've known each other probably 8 years or 9 years or something like that. So we all sort of know each other, but there's nobody out there going, you know what, this is what we do for a living and you need to know about it, or this is what this person's story is and it's worthwhile. And as much as we ostensibly as well think we know each other, we perhaps don't. And I think it was Tej commented on one that he'd listened to. Oh, I think he listened to Atul's from Sanjay Foods. And said, oh, we've discovered a few things about you that we didn't know. And it's just like, okay. And again, I'm not approaching it from a point of view of making money out of it. Mm. It's just to get the word out about the brilliant people that work in our business. That's just the long and the short of it. And the struggle I'm having really is just getting people to share it out there. So once an episode's out, a lot of people are listening, and thank you for that. But share it, for goodness sake.
Because, I mean, they work so hard in this industry. Everybody just sees the fun side at a venue, and we're all there, we're doing what we're doing, aren't we? Mm. You know, you're on your crane and we're filming and the DJ's playing his music. Mm-hmm. But it's so difficult, like things that happen just before the event, or when we pack down, or when we get home, or the build up to the event. And there's just so much going on, isn't there, that people don't see?
Yeah, and this is the peculiarity about this podcast, because I don't know who the audience is. And where I'm sure that photographers, for instance, will listen to Gervais one because they're curious about his methods or how he does what he does, or maybe they really don't like him and they just want to hear him and criticise what they hear. I don't know. But I would like to think that maybe a couple will come along who are thinking of, they're getting married and they get a handle on Carisha's Cakes, for instance, or your video style or Amar's video style. You know, it's... I just want people to kind of get to know us and think, okay, that's what... You know, if a couple comes along, listens to this podcast and say, oh, you know, Mandy's got the energy that I want to have, let's get in touch with her. Fine, that's good. They're not really acting as adverts for us, for companies as such, but they are acting as adverts for the industry.
I love sometimes what you put on Facebook, and I always notice sometimes you do have digs or certain things that you like to say on Facebook, and it always puts a smile on my face. It honestly puts a smile on my face. And it's sometimes you always bring up things that we all want to kind of say, but none of us kind of want to say it kind of thing.
I never understood why people won't stand up for what they believe in.
So one of the things I noticed that you do post about a lot on social media is your purple lights.
Oh, yeah.
So talk to me, why do you hate purple lights?
Because it's crass and tacky and horrible, and everybody looks the same colour underneath purple lighting. I don't know what it is, maybe it's the frequency of light or something, but you and I could stand next to each other and look exactly the same colour, and it's ridiculous. And whilst it looks okay to the human eye, cameras haven't got that same technology, and so it's really difficult to make things look lovely. And there are certain venues, one in North London, which I won't name, but there's one in North London, and he has them up in the intensity of the sun, you know, blasting down on you in this huge purple light horror, and it's horrible. It's just horrible. And venues will always use the backstop. Oh, the client requested it. No, they didn't. The client hasn't got a clue what colours look nice. purple mixed with other things is fine. Mix purple and white or whatever.
What about a flashing purple?
preferably not. If we can consign purple to the universe's dustbin, then I would do that. Room 101 with purple lights. That's what I would say. And like I say, it's one of a spectrum of colours. DJ's using it, not an issue. The issue comes around when it's uplighters all the way around the room in deep purple, ceiling lights that are deep purple, and then the issues arise. And it's just my little hobby horse. Okay. And Vince will probably say, oh, there he goes again. Because it is... what did I... I said something online about the standard of... I don't think I specifically said BMW drivers, but nonetheless, I did talk about it, and he went, some records never change, you know. It's just like, well...
All right, so if there's a bride and groom listening to this right now and deciding on, say, let's say they do have a decision on the lights for their venue.
Yeah.
What would you recommend that the lighting should be?
Oh, bright white, everything. Just no. Just a mixture. Don't go for these horrible blue washes. These, you know, go for something nice and classy, you know, ambers, golds.
Warms.
Yeah, warm colours that actually enhance what people are looking at rather than flood it out with horror.
Okay, so there you go then. Everybody the needs end. To make sure. The end.
And those venues that tell us that the bride and groom... chose it. Stop lying, because we know they didn't.
They don't have a clue, do they? No, bless them.
Sadly. Well, no, some do. Some do. Some are excellent. And it has to be said, if I make the request, I was at the Athena in Leicester last week, and just natural default is a white guy doing the lights, natural default. Oh, they want purple. So, you know, the place was... And I spoke to the bride, who was absolutely super sweet, and she went, no, change it then. Fine, that's not a problem.
Yeah.
So we got the lighting guy, settled on something she liked, happy days, everyone's cheerful.
What's your stand on smoke machines?
Smoke machines, love them.
Do you?
Yeah, yeah. Too, but not to excess.
Yeah.
You know, don't make it like it's an 1800s smog-bound London kind of scene.
You
know, like a Charles Dickens where you can't see... and I know photographers hate it because for video, a smattering of haze is no bad thing because it just enhances the lights from the DJs so I like it.
As long as it's not constant.
As long as it's not to excess.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the rule in life with everything. Just don't do it to excess. Don't have purple lights to excess. Don't have smoke to excess. What else could you not have to excess? I don't know. Have a break when you're dancing. For God's sake, don't do 6 hours solid dancing. Nobody wants that. Have a break for main course.
Because we need to eat.
Yeah, we need.
We need a break.
And DJs, stop telling us it's the last number when there's an hour left. Because we know there's an hour left. You're just getting our hopes up that it's going to...
And then why do the DJs get fed first when we've been there since 6 o'clock in the morning and we're just like...
Oh. Well, I do know one videographer and it annoys him so much when the drummers sit down at our table and so Imperial and all you other drummer boys out there, just think about us. We've been there a long time.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so your magical question that you ask everybody.
Oh, yeah.
So if I was to give you the skills and the tools to do whatever you wanted, what would Andy do?
And I'm not allowed to choose what I already do, which is a shame because that's probably what I would want to do. That's a really difficult question, and you know, I actually haven't thought about it myself. I would probably, do you know what? Photographer.
Really?
Yeah. You were expecting me to say DJ or something, weren't you?
I don't know.
No, because I am in awe of some of the photographers in our business and the skill sets that they have to create magical images out of seemingly thin air is something that, because generally I'm restricted to a dance floor or, you know, that sort of area of the room. And so my shot range is pretty limited. But I've seen photographers magic shots out of absolutely nothing. And you just think, how on earth did you do that? I remember Harpreet Garcha was photographing Sal in... Monaco, in Monte Carlo, and he was sort of going, okay, lean forward a bit, just twist you slightly to your right, left, and to the naked eye, Sal looked like he was in some kind of weird position, and the photograph that came out was staggeringly good. It's just like, how did you do that? Where in your head did you see that that was going to work? So I'm quite envious of their skills. And if I could do that, I wish I could do that. And I also wish I could just turn up to a gig with one bag, you know what I mean, and not a trolley full of equipment. Photographer probably.
Mind
is
you
it.
Saying that now? Some photographers still have a trolley full of equipment.
They do, don't they? Because they bring in lights and all
backdrops
sorts of bits.
True.
But I still. There are some guys that, you know, hate to fanboy it, but Gervir, for instance, is just like, I wish I had his eye. I wish I had a tenth of his talent. Because, like, you know, as Clint Eastwood said, a man has to know his limitations. Unfortunately, I realise mine. And that's it. I can't do that. And I wish I could.
Mm-hmm. So... Thank you so much, Andy. How did you feel
welcome.
Like being on the other side of this
pod? It's kind of horrible because I feel like I'm waffling. And it's not a comfy place for me. It's like I say, I prefer to be behind the camera rather than in front of it. But thank you for suggesting this, and I hope it's a worthwhile episode for people to listen to.
It's been nice to learn a little bit about yourself and your personal life and everything else and how you got started.
It's all lies.
Thank you so much for your time, Andy.
Thank you for doing this.
Bye.
See ya.
So there we go, the end of episode 9. That was me. That was Mandy Dillon interviewing me. Not like me to be controversial in any way, shape or form. But, you know, it's the same old record sometimes, isn't it? So anyway, moving on. Next episode will be Bhavita Raga, makeup artist, hairstylist, all-round very interesting person with a very interesting background and a very interesting story. So I'm looking forward to talking to her this week, and that'll be the next one along on the Wedding Professionals podcast. Couple more episodes yet, but we're getting towards the end of the first series of the Wedding Professionals podcast. The last episode, I'm really hopeful that I can get who I want, and it's a bit of a twist and a look at the wedding professionals business from the other end of the telescope, if you like. So stay tuned, and that will be coming along soon.